From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked right here onto WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, rivalry week is bringing out all the antics. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's all over social media. I'm looking at it right now on my Twitter page, also my Instagram page. The Magic Johnson statue here on the campus of Michigan State University was vandalized, last night. It was discovered around 7 a.m. as Magic Johnson had a maize, or I should say a yellow block M painted on his chest, as well as on his back. And at the bottom of the statue, it says Beat State. The rivalry is certainly real. We'll talk about the vandalism of the Magic statue. Everyone's talking about this, folks. We'll also be chatting with Aaron Mills, who's the Senior Marketing and Communications Director for the Special Olympics Michigan. As, this is kind of an ironic topic here, seeing as though Aaron and the Special Olympics Michigan will be putting on a unified Michigan and Michigan State flag football game this Friday. It doesn't look unified right now, at least. So we'll invite Aaron to talk about that special event. We'll also dive into last night's crazy Major League Baseball action, all of that and so much more, folks. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Thursday, October 15th. Michigan State University is cleaning up after the statue of Magic Johnson was vandalized overnight. The University of Michigan colors, a block M, and Beat State were sprayed on the statue in front of the Breslin Center. Now, Therese Nugent of the Landscape Services Department at Michigan State said her department was alerted of the vandalism shortly after 7 a.m. today. Now, Nugent said she's certain the vandalism happened overnight, as the paint was dry when they arrived. Nugent said it is the first time she can recall that statue has been ever vandalized. Cleaning the bronze statue will likely take most of the day and may cost thousands of dollars, Nugent said. Yeah, we'll have more on that in just a sec. The Big Ten announced its preseason all-conference selections, and two local players were honored, Michigan State senior guard Denzel Valentine and Michigan senior guard Caris LeVert, were selected to the 10-man team, with Valentine being one of the unanimous selections by the conference media members. The others, Maryland guard Melo Trimble, the conference's preseason player of the year, Purdue's A.J. Hammonds, and Wisconsin's Nigel Hayes. The Michigan State volleyball team had four players with double-digit kills and hit 305 as a team to down visiting Maryland 3-1 Wednesday at Jenison Fieldhouse. The Spartans improved to 12-6 overall and won their second straight Big Ten match to improve to 4-3 in conference play. The Terrapins remain winless in Big Ten play and fall to below 500 on the year at 10-11 overall. Head coach Kathy George, she earned her 200th victory at the helm of Michigan State's volleyball program in her now 11th year. Prior to Big Ten Basketball Media Day, the conference released the preseason coaches and media polls for Big Ten Women's Basketball, in addition to the 10-member preseason All-Big Ten team. Michigan State Women's Basketball was selected third in the coaches' polls behind Maryland and Ohio State. Junior forward Ariel Powers and junior guard Tori Jankowska both earned preseason All-Big Ten honors. Last year, Michigan State was 16-15 overall and 7-11 in Big Ten action after an injury-plagued 2014-15 year. The Michigan State Swimming and Diving Program, they announced the hiring of Amelia Marsh to its staff on Wednesday. Marsh spent last season as a part-time coach, I should say, with the Spartans, working primarily with the distant swimmers prior to working with MSU's distant corps. Marsh was the coach of the Spartan Swim Club in the Lansing area, which was comprised of athletes from Hazlitt, Okemos, and East Lansing. On September 29th, Nate Huffman announced that he was terminally ill, fighting against stage 4 bladder cancer. Today, Nate Huffman passed away at the age of 40. Huffman was a standout basketball player in college at Lansing Community College and all-league player later at Central Michigan University from 95 to 97. Initially, Huffman played professionally in the Continental Basketball League for the Idaho Stampede before going to Europe to play in Spain and then later for Maccabi Tel Aviv, where he was coached by current Cavaliers coach David Blatt. Nate Huffman had a brief one-year stint with the Toronto Raptors during the 2002-2003 season, featuring in 7 games under then-head coach Lenny Wilkins. Rest in peace, Nate Huffman. With a 3-set victory over Fowlerville, the Lansing Catholic Cougars volleyball team went, who is right now 15-13-3, 8-0 in league, earned at least a share of their first conference championship in school history. How about that? Lansing Catholic can win the CAAC White outright by winning one of its final 3 league games, as the teams behind them have 3 losses. And it was a crazy night of Major League Baseball action in the postseason. The Toronto Blue Jays earned its first trip to the American League Championship Series since Carter's World Series ending drive in 1993. You remember that? Overcoming one of the craziest plays in playoff history when Jose Bautista hit a 3-run homer after 3 Texas Rangers errors for a 6-3 victory on Wednesday in the deciding Game 5 of the AL Division Series. And Johnny Cueto, he pitched 8 dominant innings Wednesday night and allowed the resilient Royals to rally once more for a 7-2 victory over the Houston Astros that sent them back to the American League Championship Series. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in right now, give your thoughts on anything that's on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, it's about that time to start the show.
Dead ball. The ball actually hit Chu's bat as Martin went to throw it back to the pitcher.
Why is it dead? Why is it dead?
That ball's alive.
Now Dale Scott signaled immediately.
That ball's alive. Odor came in and touched the plate. That's so important, because if they come back and rule that ball's live, then that run has to count.
Clearly, I mean, Chu was in the batter's box.
Look, it's no different. In my mind, I could be totally wrong, but I don't think I am here. It's no different than if Russell Martin throws the ball down and the pitcher hits off the glove and he drops it.
An error has been charged to Russell Martin on the throw.
The 1-1 pitch.
Fly ball deep left field. Yes, sir. There she goes. Blue Jays 6, Rangers 3.
Jose Bautista is unbelievable.
The 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Ball game. Blue Jays 6-3 over the Texas Rangers. And the Blue Jays, in their first ever American League Division Series, win it.
Absolutely incredible in this Rogers Center building right now. Who knows what's ahead for this team?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah, you are now locked into WKR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And what you just heard was probably the craziest inning of baseball that I've ever seen in my life. Gotta be honest with you. It was absolutely just, huh? That's all I could say. When I was watching, I'm sitting there saying, what, huh? What is going on here? Unbelievable. One of the most entertaining Major League Baseball games I've ever seen in my life. You know, baseball is so cool, and I love watching the playoffs around this time of the year, because baseball is like the only sport out there that always seems to reinvent itself. I mean, how many years have baseball been invented? I mean, how many years has baseball been played, right? I mean, over 100 years, folks. But it seems as though it never ceases to amaze us, because we always see something new and different within the game. Last night, what occurred in that seventh inning, which lasted about, 53 minutes, was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in sports. Baseball always seems to just have you scratching your head and saying, wow, I've never seen that before. I don't know how it keeps on doing it, but it does. And again, that seventh inning, which we're going to get to in just a sec, and I'm going to break it down. You heard the announcers when it comes to their take on exactly what occurred in the moment. But there are so many components that that had many fans emotional out in Toronto last night. Eventually, of course, it led to Toronto pulling that game out with Jose Bautista. And how good is he, man? I mean, how good was that bat flip after he hits the home run? That was swag. That was nothing but swag-goo. Okay, folks? That's how you end the game. Okay? Unbelievable stuff. We'll break down that game in just a second. But first, I gotta get something off my chest. Because I saw this probably, I want to say, about 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. I had a meeting with one of my production assistants early this morning. So I was in the studio very early. And as soon as I get done meeting with the student, I go behind my laptop and start to begin my prep work for today's show. And the first thing that I see when I open up my Facebook page is the famed Magic Johnson statue. Magic Johnson, arguably the most recognizable Spartan in school history. His statue sits right outside the Breslin Center. It's hard to miss it. And what do I see? I see a picture of the Magic Johnson statue with just some disturbing wordage on it. And what I mean by that is Magic and his statue, the Magic Johnson statue was just vandalized, folks. It was vandalized with a yellow M on his chest. He also has yellow paint on his face. Right below the statue, on the mantle of the statue, are the words Beat State in yellow. Clearly you can read it. On the back of the statue, there's also paint, some blue paint on the back of Magic Johnson. And I thought it was a hoax at first. I thought it was like Photoshop. I thought it was a Photoshop, a photo or something like that. But I looked at it and I said, oh my goodness. No, tell me this isn't so. Tell me that the Michigan fan base did not stoop this low. Of course, we've seen back and forth. Remember last year, Michigan State fans, they vandalized the Block M on the campus of Michigan out in Ann Arbor. We've seen Sparty vandalized countless times throughout the course of this rivalry. That's why they have the Sparty watch. You know, everyone's guarding the statue night after night after night, like on a 24-hour round clock. I drove by the Sparty statue after the Mark D'Antonio press conference on Tuesday, and I saw people bundled up, sitting down in chairs, camping out to make sure nothing happens to Sparty. But now I think you may have to have people guarding the Magic Johnson statue. The reason why there was no one guarding the Magic Johnson statue is because Spartan fans did not think Wolverine fans would stoop that low. That low. And it's not even hoop season, but they would stoop that low as to vandalize Magic Johnson statue. That's mind-blowing to me. And as I stated in our Quick Hit headliners, Teresa Nugent, who is a part of landscape services here at Michigan State, she said that it's going to take pretty much all day to get the paint off of the statue, and it's going to most likely cost thousands of dollars to restore the statue to where it previously once was. That's crazy. You know, I'm all for the rivalry. The rivalry, I mean, we've been talking about it all week here on the show. You got to love it. Spartans, Wolverines, the hate is real. Trash talking. I love it. Me, I'm an MSU alum. So, I've been engaging in banter with some of my my Michigan pals all week. It's fun. It's a fun rivalry, folks. It's a fun in-state rivalry. But when it comes to, you know, vandalizing each other's, you know, monuments on each respective campus, that's when the line gets drawn a little bit too far. And that's when it really becomes personal. That's when it becomes personal. It shocked me. I was shocked, again, to pull up my laptop, to open up my laptop, I should say, to go on Facebook and to see that picture as the very first thing I look at on the internet. It sparks up a lot of anger. It does spark up a lot of anger for many people out there. And I'm curious to get your thoughts. If you haven't seen it, I've tweeted it out. I've Facebooked it. It's on our Instagram as well. Follow me at AlMartinWKAR. Just come on, dude. Be smarter than that. Come on, Wolverine fans. I thought you were better than that. Or maybe you're not. I want to invite the man behind the glass, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, what was your reaction to seeing this photo, man?
Yeah. To sum it up in one word, I guess appalled. Because I think this goes beyond the rivalry. Maybe this is the bias in me. I try to remain as objective as I can. You know, I'm on a sports talk show, so I try to walk that line of intelligence while still, you know, but I'm still a Michigan State fan.
Right, we try to stay unbiased
here. I go to Michigan State University. Right. It's hard for that not to instill itself in me.
Right, I remember talking to you. I mean, when you first started here, I always say, man, I like to keep my show unbiased. I don't like to lean, you know, either way on the spectrum. When you're talking about Michigan and Michigan State or for any topic that we cover here on the show, we stay non-biased. We look at things from the outside looking in. I'm not wearing a Spartan jersey right now. Now, Isaac, you may.
Nor am I.
No, you're not either. You're not either, you know? We try to stay unbiased here on the show. So looking at this from a neutral perspective, at the same time, when you see something like this, and I would have the same reaction. I had the same reaction last year when I saw that Michigan State fans had painted the famed Block M on the campus of the University of Michigan out in Ann Arbor. I had the same reaction then that I do now after seeing this photo.
Here's the problem I have specifically with this. Specifically with this incident. I don't think vandalism or defacing statues should be condoned or praised in any sense. I don't think that's part of a fun rivalry. Part of a fun rivalry is texting your friends that go to the other school, banter throughout the week. And once you win, if you win, or if they win, then there's the reposting of all those tweets saying, I can't wait for this weekend. And then you repost the loser's tweets. That's what you do. That's a fun rivalry. A little bit of banter, a little bit of trash talk, a little bit of back and forth. Vandalism goes too far, but I think this extends even further than the Sparty statue, further than the Block M, because Magic Johnson is not Michigan State University. Sparty statue is a symbol of Michigan State. The Block M is a symbol and representation of the University of Michigan, and that's fine. Those should not be defaced at any time, but Magic Johnson is his own individual self, and I think it goes beyond the rivalry to actually deface the statue of somebody who has done not only for a lot for the university, but for the state of Michigan. I think that goes beyond the rivalry. I think that's a step way across the line.
And we all know what the message they were trying to ensue. Of course, Magic played here at Michigan State. Again, I think he's the most famous Spartan ever, as of right now, at least. And, you know, they knew what they were doing when they did this at the end of the day. I do it now to play devil's advocate for a minute. If you're a student or, you know, a former student, you know, if you went to Michigan State and you see something like this, it does add more fuel to that fire, though. It makes you, because this rivalry does have a lot of hate into it. And when you see something like this, it takes you overboard. It's like the hate becomes amplified times 20. And I always say, what makes a good rivalry? You got to have a bit of hate. You got to have a strong dislike for that other school or that other program. And seeing something like this adds to the rivalry fuel. So in just looking at the rivalry and the emotion that is entrenched when looking at the Spartans and Wolverines, this just amplifies it. And that's fun. That can be fun as long as it doesn't cross a line where it becomes violent.
Exactly.
It can be fun. It can be fun. But again, it's going to take thousands of dollars for MSU to fix, man. Oh, my goodness.
And that's the thing, I think. I think the big difference between this and harmless sorts of fun is this really takes a toll on the people that have to clean it up, and it takes a toll on MSU, the university that has to make amends for it. But I agree. I agree with you. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, this just makes it – this ruins the rivalry for me.
Mm-hmm.
This makes it totally – I don't even care anymore about Michigan-Michigan State.
Right,
no,
right.
Quite contrarily, this adds to it.
This
does. Throws some gasoline on the already burning fire.
Yeah.
And it does make it a little bit fun. At the same time, I don't think it's worth it. I still think this crosses the line. I think there are other ways to engage in that. But there's no doubt that this does serve the purpose of making this rivalry even more contentious, even more adversarial than it already was. And the fact that some people would go this far shows how big, how important this rivalry is between these two schools.
You know, I don't get how, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, if you know of any knowledge that I don't, Isaac, but I don't understand how there's no cameras around there.
Yeah.
I think that's an easy way to fix this problem. If you put like a camera somewhere around Sparty, you know, and make it visible, or not, don't even make it visible. I mean, just let it be known that there is a camera out there.
Yeah.
And put it somewhere out there. I think that would detract, you know, idiots out there who are trying to vandalize Sparty, or for that matter, even at, you know, looking at, you know, what is taking place throughout the years at U of M as well. If you put a camera out there, I think that would detract some idiots out there, because they know that, okay, if I do this, I may get caught. There's a bigger chance. Because right now, I don't think they have any footage of, I don't think there's a camera out there to have any footage of anyone doing something stupid like that.
Yeah,
so, I don't know.
You're exactly right. I've always wondered, why do they lock up these basketball gyms at night? What, somebody's going to sneak in and play basketball? But then they don't have cameras. They don't have any barriers on entrance to these historic statues that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It makes a little sense. Mystifying, yeah.
I think that'll change. I don't know. Mark Hollis, you listening, brother? Love you, man. phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Okay. I got to get to this, folks, because this, again, it was the craziest moment, one of the craziest moments I've ever seen in sports, let alone the sport of baseball, okay? A lot of controversy surrounded around it initially because a lot of people hadn't heard of the call before. I know I hadn't. But check this, okay? You have the Texas Rangers and the Toronto Blue Jays playing in Game 5. Game 5. Of the ALDS, right? So this is it. This is for the entire enchilada. Blue Jays had just tied the game 2-2 on Edwin Encarnacion's home run in the sixth. Both Marcus Stroman and Cole Hamels, they pitched well and completed six innings. Hamels even started the seventh, to be honest. Now, let's break down the craziness now, okay? First, the controversy. Now, you had a man on third. Russell Martin hits Shin So-Chu while throwing a ball back to pitcher Aaron Sanchez. Not intentionally, of course. It was a bit of a sloppy throw, and it hit Chu either in the hand or bat or both. I'm not sure. You can, you know, judge by looking at the video yourself. Next thing you know, or Odor, who was on third base, he was called safe at home as that throw goes errant. No one, you know, corrals it after the error occurs. And Odor grows and crosses the plate. And Chu did not intentionally interfere with the throw because he was in the batter's box and going through his usual pre-pitch routine. The rules say that the ball is live if that occurs. If the catcher throws the ball and it inadvertently hits, you know, a batter in the batter's box who's not outside the batter's box, and the ball goes wherever it goes, that ball is live. So Odor, with the heads up play, comes across home plate, and the play gives the Rangers a 3-2 lead. They even had to go to the replay to make sure that it occurred. And then what happens? The fans go absolutely nuts. You had people throwing beer cans and bottles onto the field. It got very chaotic and very disturbing for a minute. For a minute, I thought they were going to have to stop play and maybe put both teams in their respective dugouts. Crazy moment. I've never seen that occur in baseball. Never seen that occur. But I tell you what, the officials got it right, though. It was the right call. The Blue Jays protested, and the Rogers Center crowd, they were just off their knockers. All right, so after the play was overturned and Odor was called safe, the crowd at Rogers Center they went crazy again. Beer bottles, cans, all sorts of stuff. Not good. Very dangerous, especially if you have kids at the game. Now, moving on from there. After, you know, the arguments and the reviews and cleaning up the field, the total delay was 18 minutes. So they did have to clear things out for a bit. Next thing you know, Elvis Andrus. Now, I've seen a player make two errors in one inning before, but I don't think I've ever recalled seeing one player fail to make a play on three consecutive plays. That's exactly what happened to Elvis Andrus last night, folks. Nuts. Absolutely nuts. First, Martin hit a ground ball to short. Andrus booted it. Next, Ryan Goins hit a ground ball to first base. Andrus dropped the throw from Mitch Moreland, who was trying to start a 3-6-3 double play. And then finally, Kevin Pillar bunted. Adrian Beltre threw to third to get the lead runner, and Andrus dropped it. Can you believe that? Three plays, Andrus messed them all up, and I just couldn't believe what I was watching. I could not believe what I was watching. And then, of course, the culmination to that inning, when the Rogers Center crowd, I mean, you know, what occurred early on in that inning when they were, you know, kind of downtrodden, they had lost the lead, you know, that crazy call happens. But then who comes to the rescue? No other than Jose Bautista. A go-ahead three-run homer that really just, it sealed the deal. It sealed the deal. That's why you gotta love MLB playoff baseball. I have never seen a baseball game in that way. Wow, folks. And I encourage, if you did not see it, please go to YouTube after the show, of course. But please go to YouTube, check it out. It's one of the craziest moments ever in baseball history. Isaac, because you actually came in before the show, and you did not tune in last night. I was glued to my television last night watching it. What was your reaction? Because I know you went back right before the show and checked it out. I mean, I'm pretty sure your jaw was on the floor.
Correct. Well, I saw the Jose Bautista bat flip. It was impossible to escape.
Right. Because that was the culmination to that inning, yeah.
Yeah, it was, like you said, the culmination, the perfect epitomization of everything that happened in that ending, all packed into one dramatic, a play filled with flair. It was excellent. So, anyway, no, I've never seen an inning with that much extracurricular activity, with that much, two skirmishes in the same inning. Then you've got guys being hit by the ball, but from the catcher, not from the pitcher, by the catcher. It was just insane.
Weird play. Just a weird play. That never happens. Just a weird play.
It was.
And then what really got me was the 18-minute delay, though. Of course, when fans were throwing – and it was the right call. It was the right call at the end of the day, but the Toronto fans were still upset.
Well, kudos to the refs, because that was a totally foreign concept to so many of us, except for them, it seems like.
Yeah, well, they reviewed it, and they definitely got it right. So, yeah, much props to them. Let's go to our phone lines right now before we hit our first break. JC from Lansing. JC, welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Yeah, that was pretty bizarre. But my grandson plays for youth league here in Lansing, 12 and under.
Yeah.
Which the new rankings came out, and they're ranked eighth in the nation, I'm proud to say.
Eighth in the nation? What team is that? Oh, my goodness,
Kappa.
JC. The Kappa Express. We had D.A. Jones on not too long ago.
That, baby.
Yeah,
number
oh,
eight
my goodness.
In the country.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they beat a team from Detroit here about 3 weeks ago, and they were ranked number 13. And we beat them 18-6. And then they came out with a new rankings. My daughter just sent me last week or over the weekend, and they're ranked number 8 in the country.
Congratulations, JC. Yeah, that's big stuff.
He's pretty proud. Yeah,
I'm
he's
sure.
Pretty proud. But anyway, they had a game earlier in the season, and I was doing the yard marker thing. And, okay, get this. The other team, it was a fourth down and whatever, 5 or 6, and they were getting ready to punt, mm-hmm. right? Well, the guy snapped the ball a little low, and the kicker, the punter, realized, go down and get it. It was about a foot off the ground, and he kicked it right out of the air without touching the ball with his hands, and the ball went 30, 40 yards way down there.
Mm-hmm.
And the referees are like, and nobody said anything, and the offenses were coming on and this and that, and the referees were standing by me, and they're all going, can you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. And I said, can you do that? And he goes, I don't know if we can do that or not. He says,
Everyone's confused. Yeah.
He goes, they looked around at the coaches, and the coaches weren't making no fuss about it. So he says, my playbook's up in the truck up in the parking lot. And I don't want to be embarrassed to go look. It's like that work. But what is you ever heard of that? You ever heard of a ruling on that? Does it have to touch the kicker's hands?
That is a very good question. I don't think it does. I really don't think it does.
I think no.
Yeah, as long as the ball gets off, you know, if it touches his hands or not, I think it's a live play. I think that I don't see anything wrong with that, at least to my knowledge.
I don't know. They were all scratching their heads and saying, hey, I've never seen that before. And I was like, I've been watching football for 50 years. I've never seen it.
Right.
So
exactly.
I never did hear the official thing if it was or wasn't, but But anyway, they play this Saturday for the semis, and then they play a week from Saturday for the championship. Again, they haven't lost in 3 years.
Wow. What a squad. That's unbelievable.
They haven't come close to losing, to tell you the truth.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, JC, we're definitely going to get I'm thinking about reaching out to D.A. Jones now to talk about those upcoming matchups because I had no idea that you guys are ranked that high in the nation.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. And Coach Eric's the coach, and what a great coaching staff they have, all three levels. And I called a month or so ago praising Kappa and the league. I think you remember I called. And
yep,
just praised,
I do.
Yep, that was me.
Yep,
and
I remember that call. Yep, we had D.A. on that day, yeah.
This Saturday they play at Harry Hill, plays the Express play the Titans, and then the Warriors play the Cowboys, and then they play for the finals a week from Saturday. So, and then I guess if they win there, they go to Detroit, possibly Ford Field and play, and if they win there, they go to Orlando, Florida, I've heard.
Oh, my goodness. What a moment if they get there. Well, I tell you what, we're wishing you all the luck in the world this weekend, JC. That'll keep us posted on what occurs.
Well, I have to admit, though, the Warriors are a pretty darn good team. We were behind at halftime. We played them here early in the season, and we were behind at halftime, and we came back and pulled it out. I think it was 27-20.
Right.
But we were down 14-13 at halftime, and that was the closest game in a long time that we had, and probably going to have to play them again maybe in 2 weeks,
right.
Saturday. But, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there and ask a question to see if anybody, if there's a umpire, referee, or anything out there.
Like I said, to my knowledge, JC, I think that's a live ball. I don't think your hands has to touch it to get it off.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Right.
But I don't know if it has to. Say if a quarterback goes over to center and the ball hits him in the knees without touching his hands and it comes up and he takes off running with it, is that legal? It'd be the same thing, right?
Ideally, yeah. I think if it doesn't touch his hands and it just hits the ground or he takes off with it, I think it may be ruled as a recovered fumble. And you know, if he does recover it and pushes it for some yards, I think it. I don't think it will renew the downs. I think the down will still be intact. But it gets real sticky though when you start getting real specific about those plays.
I know. All referees are all like, I don't know what to do here because it was so funny because they're all like, well, my playbook or my rule book is up in the truck, and he says, well, you ain't got time to go look, and if nobody says nothing, let it go.
Exactly, right? Hey, no harm, no foul.
I don't know. I never did find out.
Right.
that was the case. I don't know. I guess I still don't know. So unless I hear something official.
Well,
thank you very much, Al.
Yeah. Well, thank you, JC. Again, good luck this weekend.
Yep. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Let's hit our first break, folks. When we come back, we will be chatting with Aaron Mills, Senior Marketing and Communications Director for the Special Olympics Michigan. You don't want to miss this interesting chat as they aim to unify the fan bases of Michigan and Michigan State, with it being rivalry week, with a special game for an even more special cause. Don't miss that and so much more. You are tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. As if this year's Michigan versus Michigan State football game didn't have enough excitement behind it, both schools will go head-to-head for the first time in a unified flag football game. It is a part of the inaugural Special Olympics Unified Sports Rivalry Series, where 18 teams from rival schools and universities across the country will compete in 9 intense play unified competitions, promoting not only inclusion and respect, but also for a game day advantage. Gotta love that. Right now we have on our phone lines Aaron Mills, Senior Marketing and Communications Director for the Special Olympics Michigan. Aaron, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Sal, for having me on. I'm super pumped to tell you guys all about this rivalry. It's something never happened before, and we're super excited to be kicking it off here in Michigan.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. It's kind of ironic looking at what occurred this morning. I don't know if you saw, but the Magic Johnson statue was vandalized by a few idiotic Michigan fans this morning. Did you check that out?
I did see that. I mean, you get stuff like that everywhere. They do realize that it's not basketball season, though, right? Michigan fans, if they're the ones who, in fact, did it. I mean, come on, seriously.
Yeah, that's the same thing I said, Aaron. I'm like, come on, dude. I mean, Izzo's not playing yet, right?
Yeah.
But first off, Aaron, I want you to talk about this incredible event. How did the idea for a unified flag football game between the Spartans and Wolverines come about?
Yeah, well, first let me give you a little background on what unified is.
Yeah.
Typically, Special Olympics, we have our traditional Special Olympics sports where we have all of our athletes with intellectual disabilities who are playing sports. But over the past few years, we started introducing here in Michigan and across the country unified sports. And so what that is it's your traditional Special Olympics athletes on a team, and then their teammates integrated with them is also people without intellectual disabilities. So whether it's, you know, friends from school, or whether it's, you know, people at college or whoever, it may be, people without intellectual disabilities and with intellectual disabilities playing together on the same teams. So, it really kind of helps break down those barriers where, you know, you might not necessarily think you have something in common. Well, I mean, we all know sports is one of those things that really brings everybody together. So the Unified Rivalry Series itself, we've had some colleges in Michigan. We have 9 colleges that actually do intramural sports programs at their colleges that have Special Olympics athletes and college students playing on the same teams together.
Right.
And Michigan State is one of those colleges. Michigan's one of those colleges. We've got them at CMU and Western. And so we just decided, you know what, let's take this to the next level and just kind of we've done it on campuses before, but we've never done it, campus against campus before.
Aha. That's a unique idea. So you mentioned a few of the other schools that are partaking. What other schools are partaking? Because, you know, looking at this, I mean, you know, 18 teams from rival schools and universities across the country. What other schools are also participating in this this pretty cool event?
Yeah, so Michigan State, we're the first ones in the country that get to show everybody what this is all about. But we've got 8 other games going on across the country, like you said, this year. And, I mean, you've got traditional rivalries. Just you've got the rivalries here that we're starting this year, too. You've got Ole Miss and Mississippi matching up, Florida State, USC, UCLA, Alabama and Auburn. So, I mean, you think of, you know, some big college rivalries, we're trying to take that to the, you know, the unified field as well, which really is kind of a cool deal.
Yeah, that is beyond cool. Now, you, Aaron, being the Senior Marketing and Communications Director for the Special Olympics Michigan, I mean, what was the challenge like trying to expand this event? How did you guys get to this point where it's becoming nationwide?
Yeah, I mean, we have athletes in Michigan, Special Olympics athletes that, you know, they compete locally. They compete at a state level. We had some athletes in Michigan this year that competed at the World Games in Los Angeles. And so we've had athletes that compete on the world level, you know, quite a bit. ESPN was huge this year on covering the World Games. So really, Special Olympics names really kind of been blowing up, and people are taking it more seriously as a sporting event than just kind of a feel-good event, which it is a really feel-good event when we have our state competitions throughout the year. But, I mean, we've got some athletes that are some pretty hardcore athletes. So, you know, we started flag football here in Michigan a couple of years ago, and we just had our state championships recently. So we've got some really good football players in the state, and, I mean, why not showcase, you know, alongside these big, giant rivalry games?
Now, Aaron, the game, of course, will take place this Friday, tomorrow at 7 p.m. at Ralph Young Field on the campus of MSU. Nearly 30 college students from MSU and the University of Michigan will team up. That's a lot of people. Aaron, how did you guys expand to that many? I mean, wow, how did you get the word out to attract that many people?
Yeah, I mean, those are just the players themselves. Each team is going to be made up of about half Special Olympics athletes and half college students from each university. So, I mean, this is kind of the, you know, the first go at it. You know, we've got our two teams going. Hopefully we'll be able to expand it to some other schools, some other rivalries as well. And, you know, depending on how things go this year, you know, we could even take it to the basketball court as well, because we do unified basketball intramurals at different colleges too. So, I mean, it's just kind of the starting phase. It is big itself, and it's going to be an awesome game. We're really looking forward to putting it on, but, I mean, this is just the beginning on showing people what it's all about.
And can people, you know, just kind of spectate and see what's going on there? Will there be bleachers present and so on and so forth?
Yep. So the game, yeah, it'll be right by Ralph Young Field. It's actually going to be across the street from there at the Munn Turf Field. And so we're going to have crowd coming out. You can come out for free, cheer on everybody, see what it's all about. And then ESPN is going to be talking about it the next day on College Game Day. So, I mean, this is really kind of a big deal. But if you're in the area, swing by, see what it's all about, man. It's going to be an awesome time. It'll start around 7 o'clock for kickoff. It'll probably wrap up right around 8. So good chance for you to come out, check out the game, and then you can kind of continue on with your Friday nights as you're getting ready to have some fun heading into the weekend.
And also, I believe individuals who want to get involved in an online pledge can also raise money for the Special Olympics Michigan as well, right, Aaron?
Yep, that's right. So, yeah, so the teams are going head-to-head, and then along with that, the teams are also doing an online pledge battle. So they're trying to see who can raise the most money in the name of their school. So I can tell you right now, Michigan State is putting a whooping on Michigan pretty good on the online donations.
Right. So, can you give us numbers right now?
I want to say this morning, I mean, we just launched the pledge, so there isn't a ton of money behind it. I want to say Michigan State's probably, they were right around $200 when I checked it this morning. So some of the other rivalries, they're up there in like the $500, $600 ranges already. So no matter what we finish with, it doesn't matter. But the support behind us in the stands, in the field, watching everybody, and then those online donations too, anything that we do raise does go back to help provide those year-round sports training and competitions for all of our athletes, so we can do our traditional sports and do the events like this that really kind of help unite the community around us.
Gotta love, this is such a, just a feel-good event, folks. And we'll be sure to tweet it out and put it on our Facebook page to let people know when the game will take place again, to remind them, and also to pub your website so that people can, you know, can donate if they choose to do so. And you, Aaron, I mean, you being a part of the Special Olympics Michigan, I mean, Aaron, for you, great event, but when you look at your job, what's the most gratifying part about it?
Well, I'll tell you, Al, before I came to Special Olympics, I was a sports reporter and anchor in TV for over 10 years. So I've covered the World Series, All-Star Games, Bowl Games. I've covered Super Bowl when it was in Detroit. I've covered all these major events, and those have all been awesome. But I've never come away from an event feeling just an overall sense of pride in the athletes that you're seeing, and of being a part of something, the pride you feel of being a part of something, like what you're doing is actually making a difference in someone's lives, like at a Special Olympics event. And whether you're there just to be a part of it, to see what it's all about, or whether you're hands-on and you're, you know, being a unified partner at an event and you're getting there with the athletes, or you're just volunteering at an event, it's just one of those things where it's just, you can't walk away with it without feeling better than you did when you showed up.
I'm telling you, that's great stuff. And Aaron, that's an interesting journey. I had no idea that you were an anchor and a broadcaster for what, 10 years? I mean, How did you end up with the Special Olympics Michigan, and how did you get, you know, end up from that world of being a broadcaster?
Yeah, personally, it's just one of those deals where, I mean, broadcasting itself is awesome. You know how it is. I mean, you used to be in TV. I think you were at LNS, I think, before you were there. So you've seen all the sides of the broadcasting. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where, personally, I was just looking for a change. I had a lot of fun what I was doing. Didn't know what I wanted to do, but I wanted to somehow remain in sports because I've always had a passion for sports. Kind of fell into a position at Special Olympics Michigan, and I'm so glad I've been here because, at the same time, it's a great event. And then, on the flip side, I'm still staying in contact with all of the people that I've met over the last 10 years, whether they're still at radio stations or TV stations all over the state. So, you know, and then it's getting the word out to them about Special Olympics too. So just kind of one of those deals where this isn't what the plan was for me when I started off as a broadcasting major like 12 years ago. but, you know, you never know how life's going to take you.
Life is a funny journey, isn't it? I tell you. Well, yep. Aaron, you keep it up because you are doing one outstanding job. Before we get you out of here, again, remind people how they can find out more about this incredible event tomorrow.
Yep. So the event itself, 7:00, it's going to be happening at the Munn Turf Field across from Yelsey. On the campus of MSU. If you're looking for more information about the rivalry game itself, just go to specialolympics.org/rivalry.
There you have it. The one, the only, Aaron Mills, Senior Marketing and Communications Director for the Special Olympics Michigan. Aaron, thanks so much for joining me, and I'll be out there tomorrow night, my man.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, Al. See you then.
All right. I'll see you then. All right. Let's take our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this edition of WKR's Current Sports. Bye. Talking about Tom Izzo. That's right. We'll talk some Big Ten basketball. Tom Izzo had some interesting comments concerning college athletes spending less time on sports. He calls it a joke. We'll debate that. And also, the Feds are looking into FanDuel and DraftKings. Uh-oh. Don't go anywhere. You are locked right here into Current Sports. Welcome back. Again, you are locked into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. You know, we said it yesterday that we give you guys an update on the dire situation concerning one of the NBA superstars in Lamar Odom, who, of course, is in a coma due to a crazy situation over the weekend in which he was found unconscious at a brothel in Nevada, and a Nevada sheriff says a person who called 911 to report that Lamar Odom was found unconscious said the former NBA star had recently used cocaine and had taken sexual performance enhancers. County Sheriff Sharon Wearley says an employee for Love Ranch told 911 dispatchers that Odom was found unresponsive with blood and, quote, white stuff coming from his nose and mouth. It's a sad story right now because Lamar, it's said that he also has been having, he had seizures. That's what I'm reading here. And he may have endured some brain damage. It's just looking really bad. So we wanted to give you guys an update on that. We're still pulling for Lamar. Of course, Lakers star Kobe Bryant, who was in Las Vegas for an exhibition game on Tuesday, he visited the hospital. I saw African-American philanthropist Jesse Jackson. He was there to pray with the family. Khloe Kardashian, we know she was there with her family. She is there right now because I didn't know this, but their divorce was not finalized. So she apparently has been making medical decisions concerning the Lamar situation right now. Lamar's dad even showed up, and they have had a troubled history, but really just pulling for Lamar Odom and hoping that he comes out of this thing. All right, folks, 9 minutes left in the show. I want to talk about Tom Izzo. Yeah. Interesting comments concerning Tom Izzo. You know, he had some interesting comments concerning college athletes spending less time working on their respective sports. Tom Izzo said this at Big Ten basketball media sessions near Chicago. Quote, "I think it's a joke." Izzo, of course, has always been outspoken about the importance of his players spending extra hours to improve. He loves gym rats. He always talks about that. But Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney and other administrators have been pushing the idea of freeing up time for athletes so they could pursue more opportunities as students. Izzo said coaches are smart enough, quote, not to beat a kid to death with practice. And the NCAA already limits practice time anyway. He went on to say, quote, "I don't see surgeons worrying about their time. I don't see musicians worrying about theirs. We give them more time, they get in trouble, and then we get in trouble," end quote. Isaac, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I do. I think when you go and pursue college basketball, first off, I think there are two different levels of players. I think there are the players who are serious about wanting to make the NBA, and the ones who aren't. And the ones who aren't might not spend quite as much time in the gym, and that's totally justified. You look at somebody like Colby Wallenman. He still played last year. He had some significant points and rebounds, as a matter of fact, in the NCAA tournament. But he's also a member of the Michigan State Honors College. He plans on going to med school. He's got all of these other facets of his life which are as important to him, and that's fine because he doesn't have NBA aspirations. However, for somebody like Brandon Dawson last year, Denzel Valentine this year, no, I mean, I'm sorry. You and I, we wanted to be sports journalists, and we really put a lot of eggs into that basket. You spend your Friday nights covering high school football. You do all of that. You make some sacrifices to hopefully make the dream a reality. It's the same for these guys. They've got to put in the work if they want to get to that NBA level, and no, I mean, they get paid well for it in terms of scholarships. I'd like to see them paid outside of that as well. But I agree with Izzo. I think he's exactly right. There are already limits. These guys are student athletes. They have to maintain a certain GPA, and they have the resources available to do so. But I think the current limits are just fine the way they are.
Yeah, I have to disagree with Tom Izzo. I'm going to take the opposite on this. I love Coach Izzo. He's one of the best coaches in college basketball history. He is a shoe-in for the Basketball Hall of Fame. We all know how he not only molds players into great players, but we also know how he transforms his players into men as well. He's unbelievable and a very, very great face for the sport of college basketball itself. But I think when looking at, and again, this is a conversation that that has two sides of the coin here because, again, at the end of the day, those who do, like you said, Isaac, have the talent of making it to the next level because that's why you come to a program like Michigan State where you have a great chance at making it to the next level because of the exposure and for playing with a, you know, and getting the tutelage of a coach, a legendary head coach like Tom Izzo. That's why you come to Michigan State. So many, if not all, of the players who play for Tom Izzo have aspirations of taking basketball to another level once they leave the green and white territory, whether that may be the NBA or even maybe playing overseas in Europe or so on and so forth. But at the same time, I think it's been so publicized, especially as of recently with this whole talk about whether or not college athletes should be paid, that we really start to see we're starting to see more and more the layer get pulled back about the overall schedule of a college athlete, the schedule that they have to go through, no matter what Division I sport it is. I mean, I know not too long ago, we talked about the schedule of football players here on the campus of Michigan State, how they wake up, they weight train, they do their individual workouts with, you know, maybe Ken Manny, they do some particular strength workout with him, then they go back and have practice, and who knows if it may be a two-a-day day, you know, during preseason training camp, who knows?
the schedule of a student athlete, I can only imagine how it is, because they not only have to balance a pretty rigorous NCAA schedule, but also try to balance getting a degree and making sure they perform in the classroom as well. And I constantly talk about how when I was in college, in order for me to make sure that I competed in the job field, I had to at least have, what, throughout my entire college career, 8 internships. 8 internships is what I had throughout college. And that still didn't guarantee me a job once I crossed that stage and got that diploma at the Breslin Center. So I can only imagine how, for a, let's say, a Denzel Valentine, whose ultimate dream is to make the NBA. But let's say Denzel gets hurt and he's dedicating all of his time in his, you know, his senior year of college, not putting more of an emphasis on getting that degree and getting those internships. Let's say he wants to go into journalism, and we all know journalism is all about getting internships. He didn't get the amount of internships that his fellow peers did, just as regular students throughout college. He's already set back. He's already set back if he wants to compete in the job field. So I think that it's a good idea to throw this around. I think that Jim Delaney and other administrators in the Big Ten need to have this conversation and really have a serious evaluation about how many hours these student athletes are putting in on a weekly basis. Now, like Izzo said, I also can look at his other comment when he says, you know, I don't see surgeons worrying about their time. We give them more time, they get in trouble, and then we get in trouble, I should say. Yeah, some of them are going to get in trouble, but it varies from athlete to athlete. If you give an athlete more time, yeah, some of them are going to be knuckleheads. Some of them are going to be idiots and do something stupid. We've seen that countless times. But there are some that are going to use that time wisely to make sure that they are productive. It varies on the case. It varies on the student athlete themselves. You can't just loop everybody into one bunch.
And I agree with you there. I think that second comment, the one about you give them more time, they'll get in trouble, I think that's a little bit unfair. I agree with you 100% there. College is all about independence, making decisions for yourself. So once you're in college, yeah, you might get in trouble once in a while, depending on the person. But it's also very possible that that's going to be part of your development as a human being, as a functioning member of society. You'll learn how to take care of yourself, how to cook for yourself, how to live by yourself.
Just not responsibility, have, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So therefore, no, I think that's part of the struggle with being in college. If you have free time, knowing how to use it. So I can't really agree with Izzo there, but I do think that these athletes, I mean, like I said, full rides are hard to come by. And one of those plus maybe dreams of being in the NBA, yeah, I think they can put in the work that they do. I think that's actually fair.
Yeah, and looking here, breaking news, actually just, you know, from a minute ago, the USA Today has put out its coaches poll, and Michigan State right now is ranked 13th in the nation. The top teams are Kentucky, North Carolina, Maryland, Duke, and Kansas. They round out the top five. Looks as though Kentucky and North Carolina, they're both tied at one right now. Kentucky and then North Carolina, Maryland, Duke, and Kansas. So MSU at 13. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you.
Yeah,
there.
I agree with that. All right, well, folks, we are out of time. Out of time. I hate this part where we have to say goodbye. I want to give a special thanks to Aaron Mills, Senior Marketing and Communications Director for the Special Olympics Michigan. Thanks a lot for joining me on the show, Aaron. And to all of you out there, our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to today's edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Remind you that, hey, it's Thursday tonight. Current Sports TV hits your airwaves on your television, 10:30. On WKAR-TV, I'll be sitting down with Terry Kilday, who is the director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties. It was an amazing time picking his brain about where the sport of golf is headed. You do not want to miss it, folks. Tonight, 10:30 p.m., WKAR-TV. Have a fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.